This month on Living Permaculture, we're touring greenhouses at the Living Farm in Paonia, Colorado, with farmer Lynn Gillespie and Marjorie Wildcraft, founder of the Grow Network. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley.
We lay over the wires at night, and that holds that temperature in. So it can be, the coldest we've recorded is 13 below outside, still pickable inside the next day. And we got a grant from CSU to put in this system. So what we were looking at is growing on the back side of the calendar, so March or October to March when it's cold. And if we were to heat this building with propane, it would cost us about $12,000 a year. With the little electric fans, we're down to $165 a year. And when I grow in here, what we can produce is about $3,000 worth from October to March.
And what plants do you focus on here?
Greens, mostly lettuce, spinach, kale, things like that.
Do you use it in the summer months as well?
Yes, we grow year-round.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also greens?
Greens, green beans. Those are our usual crops. This is the end of the basil here.
Mm-hmm.
So we had it. We planted that in March. It's done really well. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so how many different greenhouse systems do you have on the Living Farm?
Five.
Five.
We have five buildings and five systems.
Cool.
So every building is like a new iteration of us learning something, and then, mm-hmm. Oh, I want to build this building. And then so my husband built me another building and another one, and yeah.
Which was the first?
The little greenhouse. You want to go see it next?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to pop this door shut.
Yeah, I was
it's
wondering.
Getting cold. I'm like,
so this is the little greenhouse. We built it in 1987, and the reason that we built it is I wanted to have children, and they were not going to go to daycare. So I'm like, build me a greenhouse, I'll work from home. And this is how it all started. So this is actually a pit greenhouse. This one's 800 square feet. And it does not freeze in the winter unless it goes below zero.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Hang on to the wall there. Come on in. So this back wall here is rammed earth. It's 16 inches thick. That's our thermal mass to keep us warm. And we're 4 feet down into the ground. So that also you get the radiant heat just from the earth.
Right. And so, then the southern facing.
Yep, got the southern glaze on it and insulated on the north. And this is, it's a perfect greenhouse size for like a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you wanted to grow your own food or something like that, this would be ideal for a family.
And it looks like you've done it with a lot of cinder blocks. And
yeah, we do a raised bed gardening method.
Mm-hmm.
And I use cinder blocks because I don't like to run tools. So I don't have to have hammer and saw, and they're semi-portable, and they don't deteriorate.
Yeah.
So, but you can build raised beds out of whatever you want. I just prefer the cinder block. And they're all uniform. You go from one building to the next to the next. They're all the same size because all my covers and my low tunnels can go from one bed to another to another to another. Inside, outside, everything's uniform. That helps a lot. There's about 175 beds out here.
Wow.
There's 9,000 square feet of indoor growing space and 11,000 square foot of outdoor growing space. So it's a lot.
Yeah. And so this was what determined the dimensions, the
mm-hmm.
very first greenhouse.
What determined the dimension is I can sit on the edge and I can reach halfway into the bed. I'm like, this far, honey? That's 3.5 cinder blocks. And it actually works out perfect because an aisle in a bed is exactly 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps us to figure all that out.
What are you growing in this one?
This one, we're starting back into greens. This is the end of the peppers. We're going to let these crop out. And then we had tomatoes in here. We have broccoli in here. There's celery in the back here. We'll take the celery through the winter, all the greens through the winter. The peppers will come out in a few weeks, and that'll go into greens as well.
So, is this calendula? Or
that is Gadzania.
Gadzania.
I grow them for fun.
And they're pretty.
It's like, stick some flowers here and there. And
they almost look like dandelion.
Yeah.
Gorilla.
Yeah, and they're milky, too, in the stem. But, yeah, I really like them. They're just a lot of fun. And then these are some potatoes in pots.
Cool.
We're always experimenting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 34 years, it's still fun.
And you grow in the fields as well outside of greenhouses?
We grow in raised beds, mm-hmm. but I don't grow in the fields.
Okay.
The native soil here is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I could spend 30 years amending the native soil and still have bad soil and a lot of weeds, or I can just go into the raised beds, use my amendments in the beds, and have good soil year one.
So yeah.
That's my choice.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right, you want to see another greenhouse?
Yeah, let's check it out.
This building, her name is the Odyssey. They all get names
because
they're all unique and different in their own way.
What were the other two?
That was the little greenhouse, and then we were in the solar house. Oh, in the big house.
In the big house.
Yeah.
Now the Odyssey.
Now the Odyssey. So this is broccoli, cold broccoli coming for the CSA.
Wow. I didn't know broccoli grows like that.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It is.
And then we get spinach. This is the fall beets. We'll be harvesting these. And that. This garden here in the center, which this is our garden show. We just finished 33 weeks of filming today, this morning. And so this garden had all kinds of stuff. There was carrots and potatoes and winter squash and tomatoes and basil and everything you could name was in here. And this 128 square feet will produce about $2,300 worth of food in one growing season with only 15 minutes a day work.
Wow.
And there was, we pulled almost 650 pounds out of this garden this year.
Wow.
So we actually record everything that we do from the time we first plant the seeds to the time we pull the entire garden out. And that's online, and people can watch everything we do in this garden and learn how to grow.
What's the website?
The website's thelivingfarm.org. It's our website. And then the show is called the High Performance Garden Show.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's free. Anybody can sign up for it. We have people from all around the world
watching it.
Yeah, there's over 8,300 subscribers right now.
Cool.
To the show. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So is it like a live feed, or do you speed it up?
We film it, we record it, and then we'll cut if I'm like being slow, or he can speed it up, or so there's all kinds of things. The show actually ends up being about 30 to 40 minutes a week.
Okay.
Of footage that people can sit and watch
to help people learn.
Huh? Yeah, because they could put this in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only 128 square feet. It's a tiny little garden, but you know, this garden put $2,300 back in my pocket this year. Yeah. Which is kind of cool. Plus,
Glenn's got some amazing fans too. That little boy with the firecracker lettuce seeds. You got to tell him about that.
Browen, yes. This is our firecracker lettuce. So I got a letter in the mail, and it was from the six-year-old, and he's like, I want to grow the firecracker lettuce. I want to grow it out to seed. Do you have any seed that I could have? Because nobody grows this commercially anymore, so the only way to get it is to raise the seed yourself. And so I've put it out there sometimes that if people want to raise the seed, that I will send them some. And so he wrote in, and he asked for seed. So I sent him seed, and then I've been talking to him on the show, and I'm like, okay, I call him my garden buddy. I'm like, here's what you do next, or you do next. So we grew together. I started the seed and all the way to harvest.
Cool.
So that he could see the whole process.
Well,
that's the most exciting thing, is getting that next generation doing this. You know, just a little pot of lettuce. You know, step one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does it get its name? It grows so tall? Is
the firecracker?
The color?
It's the color.
Yeah.
Yeah, the seed stalks were up here. But yeah, it's fun, and it's just another piece of education that people can do. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you have like a devoted library of seeds here where you keep them?
Just a few that I have to grow out every year because they're varieties that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're keeping the species
mm-hmm.
alive and adapting it to your
circumstance. Oh, yeah, because it will totally adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Cool. But it's neat to see that next generation coming in and going, I want to grow firecracker lettuce seed.
Where does he live?
I think it was like Illinois or somewhere like that.
Cool.
Somewhere, yeah.
Did he let you know if it was successful?
I haven't heard back yet. He sent me a couple emails and some pictures of them first coming up.
But cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. But it's a great garden system, and you know, people can tap into it and learn. Marjorie, have you looked at this crazy broccoli?
Man, that is crazy.
Isn't that crazy? That's a variety called Artwork.
I gotta go look at this.
I know. We've been harvesting almost a pound a week off of it for, oh my gosh, since like first part of May.
You're listening to Living Permaculture on Community Radio KDNK. I'm Raleigh Burley, filling in for Jerome and Steph, and this month we're touring five unique greenhouses with five unique heating systems at the Living Farm in Paonia, Colorado. Our guide is Lynn Gillespie.
All right, you want to see another building?
Let's check it out.
All right, I'm going to check this out.
See some winter squash?
Yep, I'm going to harvest those probably tomorrow.
Yeah, that's an important...
Yeah, well, three season, you know, for a lot of places, that's adequate.
Mm-hmm.
But up here in the Rockies, you need a little help.
Yeah.
So this greenhouse is the tomato house, and that's the tomatoes. They just came out last week. I'm kind of letting that dry down, and then we'll compost it. So this is converting to greens for the winter.
It smells great.
Yeah, the greenhouses are nice when you don't use chemicals in them. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about the greenhouses without chemicals is the amazing spiders we get, and all, you know, all the creepy crawlies. There's some really cool stuff. Yeah.
Mushrooms too.
We have mushrooms. Uh-huh. We have little garter snakes, and we have two kinds of frogs and two kinds of toads that actually live in our buildings. And
wow.
Yeah.
Cool, and you welcome them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The toads are fun because you can throw roly-polies at them, and they lick them up and eat them.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, here, have some more. So this greenhouse has a hot water heater, a standard hot water heater like you would have in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And the thermostat on it is set at 90 degrees. And then there's tubing run from the hot water heater. It's down inside the bed, so it's down in here. And it's like in-floor heating, like you would have in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes down the length of the bed, and then it goes back the other end, and it's clear in the bottom. And so when the soil gets down to like 60 degrees, the thermostat kicks the water heater on, and it starts running that 90-degree water under the soil and warming the soil. And that gets us through the whole winter, just with that thermostat and the hot water circulating. It's the same water. It's a closed loop.
Okay.
And then we have the heavy blankets that go on, like this one behind you here. They go on at night.
Do you ever have to cycle the water out or refresh it?
We refresh it, yeah. Every year we check it, and mm-hmm. we run 20 pounds pressure in the system. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it evaporates. I don't. Where does it go? Like water in a waterbed. Where does it go?
Yeah. You know?
Right. So. And so your electricity use on that water here is like pretty negligible.
It's not too bad, yeah. But we do use some electricity. Eventually, I want to put in a photovoltaic system for it. We did try, like, hot water solar. But when I need the hot water in January, the sun is not powerful enough. Mm-hmm. When I don't need the hot water in July, you know, the sun is so strong that it kind of cooks the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the photovoltaic will be a little bit better.
Okay.
So as their batteries and different things get better and better, then right. I will drop that technology in here.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about how it's a family organization, the Living Farm?
Oh, and, totally, yeah.
And the way that your sons and their ideas and your daughter and how that yeah. all comes together.
So Grandpa Mike bought the farm in 1938. He came with seven kids. Jim is the oldest boy. That is my husband Tom's dad. So he was raised here from the time he was eight. And then he raised four children, my husband being the third of four. That's Tom. And he also farms here. They have 130 acres that we own. And then there's 80 acres that we lease. So we run 210 acres. And then we had three kids, Jenny, Mike, and Ben. So Ben and Jenny are here on the farm, and Ben helps with the what I call the big side of the farm. We have 2 acres here that are the intensive growing greenhouse area, and then there's the other 208 acres that they grow hay, silage, they raise the cows, the pigs, and they have horses on that side of the farm, and they do hay. They do 5,000-6,000 bales of hay a year. Wow. So it's a big operation, all organic.
Chickens.
Chickens, yes. 2,000 meat birds, and there was 40 turkeys this year.
I heard from somebody recently that you grew the hay for their, like, adobe earth building.
Oh, Elaine's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually grew a field of barley, and so she got to watch her house sprout and grow, and she got to ride the combine when we harvested the barley straw for her house, and then we delivered it over there. With the tractor, dumped it in her yard. And
very cool.
Yeah, it's really kind of fun. So she's got all that memory of her house growing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so your other son, Mike, is a chef?
Mike is a chef. Yeah, he went to the Culinary School of the Rockies over in Boulder, so they teach farm to table. But it was kind of interesting because he already had the farm part, and he gets in the city, and he's like, oh, Mom, there's all this stuff. I'm like, no, come back to the country. So it was fun for him to learn all that stuff in reverse. But yeah, he runs the cafe in town. Mm-hmm. So, and Mike and Ben are 28, and Jenny's 31. So Jenny works here with me. She does, the laying hens is her specialty.
Uh-huh.
And then she also helps harvest and grow the plants.
Very cool.
Yeah, so all of us.
And the farm feeds the cafe.
The farm, yeah, about half of the produce and the meats and stuff from the farm go to the cafe. So it's a lot. And then if Mike can't source from us, he'll source locally, and then he'll source statewide.
Mm-hmm.
So he pretty much can fill his menu from us in the state.
What about for the family at home? Do you eat primarily from your own food?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the grocery store is optional for us. We don't have to go. We go if we choose to.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, everything, all our meats, all our vegetables, yeah, they all come from here. We do all our preserving and canning and... Yeah.
And most of the intensive growing you mentioned is just on 2 acres.
Yes.
So, cool.
Yes, that's all the greenhouses and the outdoor grow beds and the sheep. We got them. We got them here. But they do have a 10-acre pasture that they run in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then we felt and make wool products out of all the wool from the sheep.
And now you're building a classroom to teach
people.
We're
building a classroom because we want people to know, you know, how easy it is to grow their own food and what it's like to have a greenhouse. And all the things that they can grow year-round if they have a greenhouse, so we can teach them that.
So you'll primarily be teaching people how to build greenhouses themselves?
We'll be teaching them how to design their greenhouse. Like, you know, when you first think, oh, I want a greenhouse, well, what heat system, what cooling system, what kind of beds, what kind of foundation? So we can help with all this decision-making. So they have a plan at the end of... This is a building that I want. And then they can either custom build it or they can buy a kit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many decisions out there.
Yeah.
It really helps with that. And then we can coach them and guide them in their growing. You know, what should I grow? How many plants? You know, what kind of plants? When should I plant them? All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we guide them in maximizing their space once they get it up and running.
With your experience of doing these different greenhouses, is there one method that you recommend over the others? Or is it really situational?
It's definitely situational. You know, it depends on your climate and where you're at and, you know, what your goal is. We try to have people, their goal to be food independent.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a combination of growing in the greenhouse and growing outside in their yard to provide all the food for their family for the whole year. And then, of course, they have to have a few preservation skills, you know, putting food up in the freezer and stuff to get that goal met.
Canning.
Yeah, the canning, freezing, dehydrating, and root cellar.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have a root cellar, too?
Oh, I do.
A good one?
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, there was an old house on the farm. It was an old packing shed built around 1900. And when we tore it down to build our house, we actually saved the root cellar and we made stairs down to it. So our root cellar is about 12 by 12. And we, like for the cafe, you know, we'll store like 1,500 pounds of carrots down there, plus beets and turnips and potatoes and other things for the cafe. So it's, yeah, it takes a little storage.
What other resources do you provide, like on your website, or do you have books or manuals? You mentioned you do have some workshops coming out.
We do. We have a lot of good stuff. Our website, thelivingfarm.org, there is articles. There's, like on our YouTube channel, there's probably over 200 videos now that people can check out, the educational videos. And then primarily is the High Performance Garden Show. That's kind of our main feature, where we are teaching people how to do the high-intensity growing, you know, to get the nutrient-dense foods and stuff like that in a very simple system. You don't even need to own a rotor tiller to run our system. So it's super easy for anybody to run, and we teach it worldwide.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to share that you feel people should know about what you're doing? Or
oh, goodness.
Maybe why you're doing it.
Why are we doing this? Well, I've had the most incredible 30 years. My life, the last 30 years, has been growing and developing all these systems, raising children, being out in the country, and I just want other people to experience that joy and the happiness that growing your own food can bring, the health that it can bring. And we could make this world a much better place if everybody just grew a little bit of food. You know, dedicate 15 minutes a day. You can have 600 pounds of food. You can save over $2,000 from the grocery store. And it's simple, 15 minutes a day. It's a simple system. Anybody can learn it. Anybody can do it. And I want people to learn it, and I want people to then take that and transfer that education to the next generation. Mm-hmm. Because we have a whole generation of people that don't know how to grow food, and it's not hard. They need to relearn that and then transfer that and keep their generations of their family growing food.
Where do you recommend people get their seeds?
Seeds. I like Johnny's Selected Seeds. That's one of my all-time favorites. I like Seed Savers Exchange. They're a great place. They actually have a seed bank where they're saving all the heirloom seeds and preserving that for future generations, so I really, really like to support them. So those are my two main seed suppliers that I like to support.
Wonderful.
Yeah. How about you? You have a garden?
We do. We have a garden at our home, and this year we have kind of an embarrassing show. My sister, she's really been devoting herself to learning.
Good.
It's something my parents have often done, buying plants at Walmart or whatever, but still planting.
Good.
But my sister's brought this consciousness of, you know, organic seeds and really maximizing the potential of the growth. I think the next step for us would be to, we have a lot of grass in our yard, and I think we could sacrifice
raised beds,
a good bit of that, right? And we could build a greenhouse.
A greenhouse would be great.
I think where we have our beds now could be the greenhouse, and then, you know, south of that is where we could add some more beds, some raised beds.
And see, that's part of our greenhouse workshop, is we help people with site location and all that stuff, because it's a little daunting to figure out, okay, I want a greenhouse, now what do I do? So that's where we step in with our experience. I'm the grower, you know, 34 years. My husband's a builder, 34 years. I'm like, honey, I want another greenhouse. He's like, okay. So, yeah, that's what we help with. But give your sister the web address. She can go sign up for the show. And all the past episodes, there's four complete seasons, 33 episodes in each one, are up online for free for anybody to watch to learn the system.
They have 15 minutes each, more or less.
The shows are about 30-40 minutes. Okay, it's 15 minutes a day commitment, but I do it all on one day.
Yeah, very cool.
So you don't have to, it doesn't have to be every day, but yeah.
Wonderful resource. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. I love it.
Beyond the classroom that you're building now with that really very cool heating system, any other building projects that you have in mind?
No. That's enough. I think it's going to be a good addition to the community. We're going to do some farm-to-table dinners out there and just have, you know, community classes, whatever people want. I got a gal that's going to teach some sewing. I'm going to teach a bunch of felting.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just going to be a good time out there.
Yeah, actually, we're looking at bringing Doug Simons, who will be teaching alternatives to dentists. And then we're also looking at bringing Dr. Patrick Jones on suturing and wound care with herbs and holistically.
So. Yeah, I would love to bring in more people too. Yeah. Mm. We'll finish the building and then we'll start
filling it.
Filling it, yeah. But as people come in, they get a couple things. Not only do they get the experience of being in the greenhouses and learning, but they get to be in a community like Paonia. They get to be in the mountains where there's fresh air and, you know, the only thing you hear is crickets, and then they get the farm-to-table food. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, the 3-day workshops get 9 meals. So they get to taste the food that comes out of the greenhouses.
So sounds like a life-changing opportunity.
That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to change some lives, to really make an impact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something they can take home and get going on.
Thanks for listening to Living Permaculture on KDNK. We've been touring the Living Farm with Lynn Gillespie. The Greenhouse Workshop is offered once from November 7th to November 10th, and again from January 16th to the 19th. Registration is at thelivingfarm.org. I'm Raleigh Burley. Thank you for listening.